7.9.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. Here's your host, Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
And Jarmin Leitner. Good morning, Jacksonville. Welcome to the Empowerment Hour this morning on Praise 107.9. I am your co-host in the studio this morning, Jarmin Leitner, president of First Thursday Jacksonville and Harvest Intervention Services. Joining us on the line from Seattle is Larry Williams, founder and CEO of First Thursday Jacksonville. And in the studio this morning, we have a special guest, Council President Anna Broche. And we just welcome you in the studio this morning. Thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. All right, Larry, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Saturday. It's a great cool morning here in Seattle, Washington. It's good to be home, away from home. We have two or three homes now, but it's all good. thank you, Council President Broche, for coming into the studio this morning and keeping Jarmin company. and we're looking forward to talking with you about many things that's going on at the City Council and at City Hall. So we look forward to that. Jarmin, you got some updates for us? What's going on in Jacksonville?
Yes, just a couple of updates to talk about. You know, now that there is a new superintendent in Duval County, it seems that one of the board members is wanting the interim principal to rescind the promotions that she's given her son and niece. And I guess that's just kind of one of those questions, like, is that something that should happen? Should she rescind? Should they have received that particular position while she was interim superintendent? So that's a question that's on the table.
Well, you know, were they qualified? I guess that's the major question for me. If they were qualified, I don't see why they would have to rescind those jobs, offers, or promotions, or however they came about.
I'm assuming they're qualified because they were principal jobs, and you have to be qualified in order to accept a principalship. So they were qualified for the positions, but, you know, sometimes, you know, favoritism, you know, people don't necessarily agree with that. So maybe they are wanting to rescind because they are relatives of hers.
Well, you know, again, I think if they were qualified, you know, how can you deny a person a job or a promotion if they're qualified for that? You know, you can always say nepotism, but there's so much nepotism going on in the world today that I don't think that makes a big difference if President Trump can appoint his son and daughter into key positions in the White House. I don't see why she shouldn't have the authority to appoint principals. So,
right,
that's my opinion.
Right. Okay, so we also have some job opportunities that look like are coming to Jacksonville as well with Vistar. They're moving their headquarters downtown, and that's going to be over 600 jobs that will be available now. Now, some of the employees will transfer, you know, their positions from the old office to the new office, but it's going to create more job opportunities for Duval.
Okay, that was going to be one of my questions, Jarmin, was whether these are new jobs or are they bringing and consolidating the jobs that they had scattered out throughout Duval County and bringing them downtown with their new Do they have a new building, or you know?
They're moving to a new building downtown, and it is a combination. Some jobs are consolidated, as well as since the building is a larger building, there will be more job opportunities as well, which will total over 600 jobs.
Oh, that's good. That's good. We always like to hear job development and folks being having opportunities. Speaking of which, the I understand that the unemployment rate for African Americans nationwide now is below 6% seven percent for the first time in 50 years. So that's interesting. And the overall unemployment rate, as I understand it, is just under 4%. So you know, there's a lot of opportunities out there, and as the crunch for employment becomes greater, you're going to see folks filling these positions, and you'll find the employers providing more incentives to lure prospective employees to their factories and job announcements that they're trying to pursue. I saw one yesterday where all new employees at a certain fast food restaurant would be placed into a lottery to see if to try and win a new car. So maybe that they can use the car to get to work on time.
Oh, wow. You saw that at one of the fast food restaurants? Oh, that's an incentive.
That's a pretty good incentive, isn't it?
Yes, to go in a pool to win a car, absolutely. Well, since ViStar has so many opportunities, you know, if any listeners out there are looking for jobs, I hear that ViStar is actually a great organization to do business with as well as work for. So those are some opportunities that are available.
Awesome. Anything else that you wanted to talk about before we get into the conversation with the Honorable Aaron Beaufet?
Well, I thought that it was interesting. One more thing with the baby Kamaya, you know, kidnap case, the judge has finally sentenced that the woman who took baby Kamaya, and she gave her a year for every year baby Kamaya was away from her family. So she received 18 years in prison for that.
Wow.
Yes, and I believe that the baby Kamaya didn't want, you know, her to have a harsh sentence. You know, even her though her family, you know, they were heartbroken and wanted this woman to be even have the death penalty is what her biological mother wanted, and the biological father wanted a severe sentence for her as well. But just from the child's experience with her mother, who raised her, she didn't want that. You know, she wanted mercy on her because of how she was treated, you know, when she was raised. She didn't see her as a monster as everybody else did. So, but that sentence is finalized.
Yeah, that seems pretty harsh, but, you know, I guess it could have been worse. And speaking of which, let's get on with the interview. I know we have lots of listeners who are waiting and holding their breath to hear from Honorable Lopez Roche.
Actually, we have
to take a break.
Yes, actually, we're going to have to take a break. And we have a song called Focus by C. West. And, you know, sometimes we have a lot of tasks in front of us and we have distractions that come to derail us. So we just have to keep our eyes on our goals. And this is Focus.
Okay. Focus. If I can stay focused, I know the end will be worth it. You call the shots, cause I'll drop the ball if you don't control it. And if I can stay focused and concentrate on this moment, help me see clearly, yeah. Flesh isn't worth it. Hello world. What a beautiful day.
Sunshine
shining in my face. The new day.
There'll
be a little rain, but that's okay. And it's fine by me. I'll just take an umbrella just in case. This world can be funny,
always trying to get me. But if I can stay focused, I know the end will be worth it. You call the shots, cause I'll drop the ball if you don't control it. And if I can stay focused and concentrate on this moment, help me see clearly, yeah, this flesh isn't worth it. 2020, I wish I could see, oh so foggy, but that don't scare me. I know, yeah, what I want for me. I want the money, want the cars, the clothes, and the woman. But you know what's best for me. Na 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 na. If I can stay focused, I know the end will be worth it. You call the shots, I'll drop the ball if you don't control it. And if I can stay focused and concentrate on this moment, help me see clearly, yeah, this flesh isn't worth it. And it only gets harder from here. I never said it'd be easy. I got so many things on my plate. I feel like cheating, I don't know what to do. I don't wanna lose my cool or my view of you. I'm down and out, but I know that if I can stay focused, I know the end will be worth it. You call the shots, I'll drop the ball if you don't control me. But if I can stay focused and concentrate on this moment, help me see clearly, this flesh isn't worth it. This flesh isn't worth it.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm your co-host, Jarmin Leitner. In the studio with me, I am with President Council President Anna Broche, and joining us on the line is Larry Williams out in Seattle this morning. So welcome back, listeners, and we're going to get started in this segment of our show. We're going to talk with Council President Anna Broche as she is coming near the end of her tenure, and it's been an awesome year, and she's going to share some of those, I guess, challenges and successes and answer some questions that might be on the residents of Jacksonville's heart. So, Larry, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. First of all, happy Saturday, Jacksonville, and good morning, Council President Broche. We really appreciate you taking your time out and coming on to the studio this morning and speaking with us. We've been inundated with calls and requests to have you back on the air. You were on earlier this year, and folks really appreciated your candid responses. So we want to get into this. I know folks are waiting to hear from you and find out what's going on in Jacksonville, especially with the city council. Can we start with the suspensions of Reggie Brown, council member Reggie Brown, and Katrina Brown? What are your thoughts on that, and what's the process for suspension and resigning and filling those spots, Council President?
Well, thank you, Larry. It is my pleasure to be here back on the show with you, and appreciate the opportunity to answer a lot of questions today. So specifically related to the suspensions, so though the council does not have the power to remove or to suspend, that power and authority rests in the governor. So Florida's governor, Rick Scott, the day after the announcement of the indictments, suspended both council members, Katrina Brown and Reggie Brown. And it's my understanding that they're evaluating candidates, a lengthy list of candidates who have applied for the position to fill. So he also is the only person that has the authority to appoint individuals to serve out the terms of Katrina Brown and Reggie Brown. Go ahead.
Council President Brochet, now, this kind of took a lot of us by surprise that, activities of the two council members. Were you all aware of this? Was there anything that did you see this coming, the other council members or you?
I think there was a lot of shock and surprise amongst the council members. You know, we develop a working relationship and rapport with our colleagues in the process of serving mm-hmm. together. And, you know, while I think it was understood that Councilwoman Brown had some challenges with her business, I think it was really surprising to learn that of the alleged incidents and facts. So,
okay, and so you said that the governor alone has the right to the power to suspend these council members, and is that statewide?
That is statewide.
Okay. And so what about, having a special election or something? Is it possible for you as the president, council president, call a special election or anything for filling those spots as they stand now?
Well, the council as a body, not me individually as council president, but the council as a body would have to advance legislation for a special election. But that would only come into play if the council members resigned. So if Councilmember Katrina Brown and Councilman Reggie Brown resigned from their position, that would create a vacancy, which would then prompt the council as a body to consider legislation for a special election.
Okay, so okay. I wanted to ask, so they can remain on suspension until the indictment and the process has been completed, and if everything is clear, then they're okay to remain in their position?
Yes.
Okay.
Although those things, I think, take a little bit longer than the term that the portion of the term that they have left. And so their pay has been suspended. And if they were exonerated or whatever the right words are, then their pay would be reinstated.
Okay. Okay. It's an interesting process.
Yeah, it is. And have we seen anything like this? Council member, council president, have we seen anything, suspended council members before? Are you aware of any suspensions, that you know of in Jacksonville?
Well, we did have another council member a while ago from the beach who I don't remember or understand the terms or the specifics of the situation, so definitely not in my recollection, but it has happened in Jacksonville before, where there was a challenge with a council member and a vacancy, and then a special election.
Okay.
So, what about the work that the Browns were doing in their respective districts? How is that going to be handled?
So, Councilman Newby and I, both of us who serve in at-large capacities where we don't really have a district, we are responsible for all of Jacksonville, we have volunteered to assist with constituent services and to make sure that any projects or matters that were happening in the district that the Browns were advancing or making sure took place, we are stepping up to make sure that continues and that we're available. The district council aides who constituents have heard from or contacted before now are still there at council. So Ms. Ford Harden and Ms. Lewis in districts 10 and 8 are still available at the same phone numbers that people reached beforehand. And to the extent that a council member needs to be present or actively involved, that would be me for District 10 and Councilman Newby for District 8.
Okay. So if we wanted to reach out, and when I'm saying we, I'm talking about the community and the constituents in those districts, would they call your office or would they call their the district offices 8 and 10 as they have in the past, and that information would be relayed to you?
That's correct. We have you know, great communication with the district offices. And so for District 8, Ms. Lewis is still reachable at 630-1385. And for District 10, Ms. Ford Harden is still reachable at 630-1684. And to the extent that I need to be brought in, she's already communicating with me on a daily basis about things that she needs assistance with. But those two assistants know the districts very well and have been working with constituents for quite some time now.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear that those folks won't be left in the dark while this process plays out. And I'm sure it's going to be a long process because, as you stated, the council members have elected not to resign as the last conversations we had with them. And so that's going to be an interesting process to see how this plays out. Talking about that, what about the constituents in those districts? And I noticed I was going through COJ website, and I noticed that there's a notice of a meeting scheduled for 3 p.m. Monday. Is that related to this process?
It is. I called a meeting with my colleagues, particularly Councilman Newby and anyone else who's interested in coming amongst my colleagues, because I asked for all open legislation that had been filed and not voted upon by either Councilwoman Brown or Councilman Brown to make sure that we assign that out to champions who want to advocate for that legislation. And instead of kind of just letting it hang there, we want to make sure that we understand and study the legislation in the way that the Browns knew it when they mm-hmm. proposed it, so that we can pick it up and keep it moving.
Well, that's great. That's awesome. I'm happy to hear that. Oftentimes in these situations where you haven't been there before, you really don't know how these things are going to play out. So that's awesome that you all have volunteered and stepped up to assist in those districts. And I'm happy for the constituents in that district that they will continue to have representation.
Yes, and I wanted to ask, just for our listeners' sake, to highlight the role of council president and what the city council is here for, in how they are here to support or help the residents of Jacksonville.
Sure. So we have 19 members. We now, because of the suspensions, have 17. But generally speaking, we have 19 council members, 14 of which are elected by their districts. And so they represent a very specific area, and they were voted in by that very specific area. Mm-hmm. Five of us are at large, and we don't have an area, but we were voted in by all of Jacksonville. And so together we propose, evaluate, and vote on legislation to make changes and laws locally. But as it relates to the president, I have had the opportunity to serve a one-year term as president. I was elected mm-hmm. by my peers to serve in this capacity. We also have a vice president. Mm-hmm. And I don't have really any more power than my colleagues. I happen to sit in the president's chair, and I happen to manage the agenda mm-hmm. and the administration of the council, and making sure that we do things a certain way and that we're working together as a body. But this doesn't give me any more authority than is afforded any of my other colleagues.
Okay.
So what about the, I know that you do, the council president does appoint committee chairs.
I do.
Correct?
You're so right, Larry. Thank you for pointing that out. I do establish the committees. I establish the committee chairs. I establish who sits on those committees. The president does. I also have the opportunity to appoint citizens to boards and commissions. That comes through the president's office. And then I represent the council in the community. I field questions from the media. So there's definitely a lot of presence. But I think sometimes people think I have the authority to punish or censure individually different things that are happening. And, action, generally speaking, taken by the council is done by the body.
Okay. So as you're passing the gavel at the end of the month of June, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so what happens to all those committee chairs that you appointed during your tenure?
I will thank them for their service, for their hard work during this year, and the new council president will make his own choices in terms of committees and chairmanships.
Okay. Well, that's pretty interesting.
So each new term, the new council president is able to bring in their own team or choose their own team.
Exactly.
Okay. Wow, that is interesting. Well, we are up on a break, another break for some music.
Already?
Yes, and we this time we have another Jacksonville native council president. You are a Jacksonville native, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So we're playing a song from Jacksonville native Uncle Reese called Love You Forever. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
Name above all names, hallelujah, worthy of my praise, there is none greater, King above all kings, Alpha and Omega, there is none like you. Hallelujah, so we worship. I say that I will
love you forever.
I will
love you forever.
I will
love you forever.
Forever, even if my life
never gets better.
I will love you forever.
right. Yes, Lord, I will love you forever. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am your co-host, Jarmin Leitner, in the studio with Council President Anna Broche. And joining us on the line from Seattle is Larry Williams. We are back speaking with the Council President as she is coming near the end of her tenure as Council President. But we do have a caller on the line, and we were going to let the caller make their announcements before we go back into the interview with Council President. All right. Good morning, Miss Julia. Hello. Good morning. Okay, so we can't hear Miss Julia, so we're going to just continue on with the interview. So in the previous segment, we were talking about the indictments of the two council members. And, you know, Council President has had a lot to go on this year during her tenure. And the JEA sale was another hot topic in the city of Jacksonville. So can you talk a little bit about where we are with the JEA sale and your views on that?
Sure. So a number of individuals have come out and said, we're not going to sell. You know, no legislation will come from different places in terms of advancing a sale, which is really good to hear, because it was moving really fast. It was kind of a fast train of heading in the direction of effecting a sale. And so I created a special committee to study that and for us to gather more information and make sure that we understood what it meant for the community. And that special committee is wrapping up in connection with my presidency term ending. Okay. And so we're working on a final report of all of the information that we gathered, because this question has come up numerous times in the past and will likely come up again. And so we'll have more information about whether this is really good for the city or not.
Okay, so it's not until that report comes out that the findings will say whether yes, it will be good for the city, or no, it will not?
I think, you know, everyone's taken their legislation off the table in terms of either not selling or selling, or, you know, so that conversation has really ended for now.
Okay.
And that report is really going to provide information about the role that JEA plays in the community, what a sale might mean, what its debt is. It'll give a lot of information, though, that we've learned, including one of the suggestions was that if we were going to sell, that we could impose a rate freeze so that the customers weren't impacted as heavily.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we learned a couple of weeks ago from the Florida Public Service Commission that that's not allowed.
Wow.
And so, you know, we just discovered a lot of things in the process that that will be helpful going forward.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting that you know, as this whole process with the JEA, and I think I don't know about everyone else, but I certainly learned a lot about JEA and you know, how they operate and the things that they provide for the city aside from, you know, the power that we use and things. I like having local jurisdiction, you know, in Jacksonville and Florida, they have a lot of hurricanes and so forth. And so when those things hit, it's always good to have people that are making those decisions about sending out folks to repair lines and so forth, that those folks are there in Jacksonville. I think that's very important.
You're so right, Larry, that local accountability and the ability for the council to call JEA before the council to answer questions when citizens are reaching out to us about concerns is very helpful.
Absolutely. And so with that, you know, as far as the JEA deal is concerned, now the committee, was that an independent committee, President Broche, was that an independent committee that was put together, or was that committee made up of council members?
It was made up of council members. It started out with 5 people. The council itself had, you know, some members of the council had a desire to end our efforts, and that did not take place. And so what they did is they expanded the committee to all 19 of us. And so, yes, all 19 of us got to hear, you know, what was going on and get some more information for part of it, so near the end of it.
Okay. So what's going on with the the demolition of the JEA towers, is that have anything to do with any of the changes that they were trying to make? Or
no, they had actually closed down the St. John's River Power Park, those two towers, some time ago before all of this came up.
Okay.
And this is just the timing of when those two towers are being demolished.
Okay.
So what are the next steps for Ana Lopez Broche as you transition from, or as you pass the gavel and go back to being a normal council member, if there is such a thing as normal in the Jacksonville City Council? What's next for you?
Well, I'm in a sprint to the finish of this presidency that ends on June 30th, and I created, you know, a special committee on parks to study our parks, a special committee on neighborhoods to make sure that we did what we could to make our neighborhoods safe and healthy, a task force on open government talking about transparency, a task force on civil rights history, and also this special committee on the future of JEA. So I've got a lot of things to kind of make sure that they close nicely that I'm really focused on right now.
And once your tenure is up and you are a council member, how long will your term be?
Sure, I have 1 year left.
You'll have one
more year left in my term.
Okay.
Well, that was fast.
It was.
You just got in office.
That's right.
Just a quick thing on the presidency of the council. Is 1 year enough for, you know, to make have an impact on the council as president?
You know, Larry, somebody asked me that question last night. We've had some council presidents in the past who've done a second term. I can only remember Warren Jones, who did it back-to-back. And I agree, it's really hard to accomplish a lot in a year, and it gives you a sense of urgency of doing so. At the same time, it's a lot of responsibility, and it's a lot of effort and a lot more time invested, which I got to tell you, I love. I love my role. I love what I've done, and I love my service. And I will be looking forward to Councilman Bowman assuming the role of president next year.
So, okay, and you know, as we talk about that, if we're looking at the 1 year presidency, what were some of the major challenges that you had during that tenure? I believe you're the first. I know you're the first minority female to hold that spot. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay. And so what were some of the challenges that you faced? And I know it wasn't just a bed of roses, you know, first of all, being in that position, but also with the dual challenge of being a minority and a woman.
Well, it was a really full year, a lot going on. We had the change of the Children's Commission to the Kids Hope Alliance and a lot of consideration. I think the council weighed in nicely to make some changes to that legislation before it got finalized. And we then moved not long after that into a lot of the JEA discussion that we've experienced as of late. And so, everybody is still moving and doing what they need to do for their districts. It was just a very full year of involvement. And then near the end, I would say in February, when I kicked off my task forces on open government and transparency, as well as civil rights history, which just warms my heart. Those have been a lot of work, and I've attended as many of those meetings as I possibly can just to really be connected to the work. And I'm really excited about those wrapping up and the outcomes that they will produce as well.
Well, I think the civil rights and the government transparency are two excellent committees. Do you think those will be continued?
They will. The council president-elect Bowman has indicated that they will be ending. I think there's some discussion about the civil rights history one continuing, but that's not been finalized.
Okay. So, that's this interesting task that you've had over this past year. You're not only, a minority woman but you're also a small business owner. How, you know, you and a mother and a wife, and mm-hmm. all those types of things. How do you manage to, you know, that's a lot of juggling there. How do you manage to keep track of all of that?
Yes, and that is a great question, one that I want to hear the answer to, because I am a mother and a wife and a small business owner. So we are going to hear the answer to that question after this break. And this is Praise 107.9 on the Empowerment Hour.
Withholding nothing, I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing, withholding nothing.
Come on, you say it.
Right, we are back on the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am Jarmin Leitner, your co-host in the studio with Council President Anna Brochet. And joining us on the line from Seattle is Larry Williams. And before we took our break, we were asking the question, you know, how, you know, give us some recommendations as you know, minority women-owned small business owners on being successful in business. And just share some of your experiences and like I said, tidbits.
Sure. So, you know, how do I do all of this?
I
am really good at time management. Okay. I happen to be in a business that really tracks my time. And that has given me the opportunity to understand what I'm able to accomplish and also to learn to say no. You know, okay. If you can't say no, you can't say yes and mean it.
Okay.
I do say yes to a lot, obviously. I cover a lot of ground. And I think that I would suggest that being very aware of the relationships that you have around you that are supportive,
okay,
but also hold you accountable to growth and challenging yourself is really important. And I can say that my family is a big part of that. My husband is a big part of that, mm-hmm, in terms of making sure that I have that support. Mm-hmm. And I would also, it's kind of a nice mix of making sure that I'm always pushing myself to grow and learn, and also sometimes letting go of things that really aren't helping me grow anymore.
Awesome.
As it relates to small business, I'll just say a couple things. The same thing that I just mentioned about challenging yourself to grow, surrounding yourself with peer business owners and taking advantage of a lot of the education programs that we have in Jacksonville, whether it's the UNF Small Business Development Center or some of the Small Business Center programs at the Chamber. And I was a part of a mentoring program at the Jacksonville Women's Business Center and really enjoyed my ability to connect with business owners and help them learn about themselves and their businesses and really help themselves grow.
Well, that's interesting because we talked about that at our first Thursday meeting on Thursday.
Exactly.
Mentorship. Larry shared that mentorship was what, you know, a lot of small businesses need, and we need more businesses, veteran businesses that are in the community that are willing to embrace, you know, a mentee and bring them under their wing and help nurture them in understanding the small business arena.
Yes.
And I'm so glad that Aunt Anna has that experience, because we're going to be calling on you to help mentor some of these folks.
All right. You do that.
Hey, look, you've been so gracious with your time and coming into the studio this morning. And I understand that you have a daughter that's going into college this fall.
Yes.
And congratulations on that.
Thank you.
It's always good to see, folks moving on, especially young people going to college. I know that, I know that she's going to attend Auburn University.
You're right. Yes.
And the only reason I know that is because one of your cohorts there is a Auburn fan and graduate, Jim Love. So, I
That's
know
right.
He's ecstatic about having another. What are they? Auburn Tigers?
Yes, or? They're the Tigers.
Auburn Tigers. Yes,
I'm from Alabama. Yes, they are the Tigers. So.
All right. Well, congratulations on that. And also, I know that
we have a couple of. I was going to say, Larry, did you want to finish that or go to the callers on the line?
Yes, we can go to the callers. I'll finish up. Anna, you okay? You can hold on.
I sure am.
Okay,
so all right. So this is our Entrepreneur Corner, and we have a couple of callers on the line. We have Miss Julia from the Jacksonville Urban League. Good morning, Miss Julia.
Good morning. How you doing today?
Doing wonderful.
Just wanted to talk a little bit about our summer camp, just real briefly. We still have a lot of openings at the Jacksonville Urban League Academic Enrichment and Interactive Technology Camp. It's $55 a week, and the kids will have a wonderful time. The end date is July the 20th. So you still have time to register.
All right. Thank you. And that's the summer camp program over at the Jacksonville Urban League.
So how do folks get a hold of you, Julie?
Area code 904-723-4007. Ask for Julia Henry Wilson, and we will get your child registered immediately, and they'll instantly start having fun.
All right.
Thank
you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Julia. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good morning, Shay.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
It's going well.
All right. Awesome. Happy to hear that. Just wanted to let everybody know that we are Harvest Interventions. I probably should mention who we are. We are going to be accepting some different funding sources. So I just wanted to get the word out to everybody that for applied behavior analysis, early intervention, or tutoring services, we can take the Gardner Scholarship and the VPK Scholarship now for children with a current IEP. So you guys can check us out at harvestinterventions.com. And if you'd like to call to get more information, our number is 904-580-3663.
All right. Thank you so much, Shay.
Wonderful. You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Remember, this is our Entrepreneur Corner. And if you want to call in to give a shout out to your small business, any service or products that you provide, or any events that are upcoming, you can call area code 904-296-2251 to share that information with our listeners. All right, Larry.
Okay. I was going to say that that Harvest Intervention Services company must be a pretty good company.
Yes, it is. We are moving.
So, Council President Brochet, your daughter going to Auburn, is that your alma mater?
It is not. My alma mater is the University of North Florida. I'm an Osprey.
Oh, okay. I thought that's what it was. And she convinced you that she was going to Auburn, huh?
She didn't want to stay. And I was very introverted growing up. I didn't want to go anywhere after I moved home, being away through the military. And so, she wants to go away, and I'm proud of that. And she's spreading her wings, and so something that I didn't have an interest in.
All right. Well, you'll get to go and see some of the country life. I'm not sure if you already have experienced country life, but going up through Florida to Auburn, you will get to to pass some rural areas. So
that's right. It was not very easy to get to.
Okay. Yes.
Hey, Council President Brochet, someone texted me, and I've been curious about this as well, so I'm going to ask. What do you have any aspirations to run for mayor?
Larry, you know, that question has been coming quite a bit, so I appreciate you asking, and I'm really going to reserve that decision-making process until after I'm finished with my presidency and I have a clear mind after wrapping everything up. And so I have shared that I'm certainly considering it, and I appreciate everyone reaching out, encouraging me to think about that really a lot. So thanks.
Right. That's something to think about.
Absolutely, and I'm happy that you've been thinking about it and contemplating it, and I hope that you'll make the right decision and run. So is anything else you want to share with the listeners, Council President Brochet, because we're getting close to the witching hour, as they like to say, and we just really appreciate you coming on and sharing, you know, and being so candid about what's going on down at City Hall, and especially in the chamber, the council chamber over there, and want to make sure that you understand that anytime that you have information you want to pass on to the constituents, please, you know, give us a call and come on into the studio. We love you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Love you guys, too. And I'm just really, I'd love to talk a little bit more about the Civil Rights History Task Force that's working right now. I brought together a group of citizens, 27, 28 people who are being co-chair led by Warren Jones, school board member Warren Jones, former council member, former council president Warren Jones, and Jacoby Pittman with the Clara White Mission. And so they've been leading a really great effort to inventory our civil rights history, which is a very lengthy document starting back in the 1800s through now. And not only inventorying, but figuring out how we're going to market it, figure out how we're going to pay for that, and then also making sure that we decide where it lives to make sure that we always contribute to that. Jacksonville is home to 6 out of 18 Florida Civil Rights Hall of Fame members. And so we have such a rich history, and other communities are utilizing and leveraging that history of not only educating their communities, but also as tourism efforts to help people understand exactly what that history is. And so I'm really proud of that effort, and I'm looking forward to the results of their work.
What was your inspiration for that, forming that committee?
So there's a U.S. Civil Rights Trail that was formed by a conglomerate of state tourism organizations. And I'm so glad you asked the question, because the Times Union had an editorial that explained that Florida was not on that trail, which is really shocking. Right. Shocking in light of our history. Mm-hmm. And so
Absolutely. It
was an inspiration for us to come together and say, that's not okay. It's not okay that we're not on that trail. And we are going to take pride in our history, and we are going to shine a light on it and help everybody else understand it. It's not really being taught in the schools like it should be.
Right.
A lot of us don't know what happened right here in our home. And and we need to do a better job of making sure that more people understand it.
Well, you know, as I understand it, that, you know, you're absolutely right that we need to know more about our history. And, you know, just because they're not teaching it in the schools doesn't mean that it didn't happen.
Absolutely.
And, you know, what happened is what happened, and we need to know. You know, you can become a better city by knowing, you know, what your past was. And, you know, you don't want to, you know, get to a point where you get bogged down in it. But there's some great things and wonderful things that happened in the history of the city of Jacksonville that not many people are aware of. And I think it's very important that we share that information and at least make it available so that folks that aren't from Jacksonville have an understanding about what Jacksonville is all about.
That's right. And I'm also proud to say that Dr. Danford is one of those 27 task force members. So he's contributing greatly to what we're doing.
Well, Dr. Danford is definitely a historian on the city of Jacksonville and Duval County. Whenever I'm looking for information about what's transpired and doing over the years. I always go back to Dr. Danford because he's a wealth of information about historical happenings in Jacksonville. And I guess if you've been there for the short time that he has, you've been there quite a while. And so, but you're a native also, so I'm sure that that had some of the things that inspired you to, you know, move that forward. And we're happy and appreciate the fact that you are overseeing that and at least have it on the burner.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. And we also, Larry, just wanted to remind the community that First Thursday Jacksonville will not meet next month. We will not have a First Thursday meeting in July. I want to thank all the people who participated on this past Thursday in our open forum roundtable discussion to support and encourage our small business owners and those who are interested in becoming a small business owner.
Well, we want to thank you, Jarman, for stepping up and stepping and your chair as president to host the meeting. And it was great being a part of it, via phone. And it sounded like we accomplished quite a bit and at least put, you know, stirred some fires there about what's going on, you know, in with small businesses and especially minority businesses and women businesses throughout the Duval County, and but in particular the city of Jacksonville. And we've started a mentoring program, and that's part of the things that I was serious council president that we will be calling on you to help with this process, because, you know, as I told them on Thursday, you know, one of the reasons that I was successful in business was because I had two or three mentors along the way that helped guide me, push me, and pull me through the processes that I needed to have. And just having a mentor is a great thing if you're a small business owner. You know, I equate it to going to school, a high school or college. You know, it's always good to have someone mentoring you that understands where you're trying to go and can help you navigate the waters to get there.
Yes, and I remember you also highlighted, Larry, that, you know, trust is a big part of that, you know, and we have to learn how to, you know, discern those people that we can trust and collaborate with them and allow them to give us that information and that knowledge and be willing to receive that and really learn and grow. Council President, you said that as a part, one of your recommendations is, you know, time management,